verses 1 through 7 is not an electionary and so gets read rarely, if ever, on Sunday mornings. It is an interesting reading, though, about the early church's struggle to balance the physical and spiritual needs of its members. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
The gospel reading for this morning comes to us from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And here we have a story of Jesus feeding the 4,000. Let us listen together for God's word. "In those days there was another large crowd with nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples and told them, 'I feel sorry for the crowd because they have been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they won't have enough strength to travel, for some have come a long distance.' His disciples responded, 'How can anyone get enough food in this wilderness to satisfy these people?' Jesus asked, 'How much bread do you have?' They said, 7 loaves. He told the crowd to sit on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, broke them apart, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they gave the bread to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said a blessing over them and then gave them to the disciples to hand out also. They ate until they were full. They collected 7 basketfuls of leftovers. This was a crowd of about 4,000 people. Jesus sent them away and then got into a boat with his disciples and went over to the region of Dalmanutha." May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. Dear ones, let's be together in the spirit of prayer. God, break open your word this morning and break us open too. Give us space in our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our spirits and all of us to receive the good news of your saving love in Jesus Christ. Give us the good news and nothing less this morning. Amen. So this passage that we just heard from Acts chapter 6 is a glimpse into the inner workings of the early church. You see, Jesus, who had died, rose again, and after he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and the birthday of the church. After Pentecost, the church began to grow. I mean, it began to grow rapidly. In chapter 2, at Pentecost, there were just a few followers of Jesus, but by the time we get to chapter 6, there are thousands of followers, and what had worked for a few no longer worked for thousands. And the inevitable result was conflict. The particular conflict that was being mentioned in Acts chapter 6 is conflict over distribution of food to some widows. Basically, what happened was that there were two groups of Jews in Jerusalem at the time. There were the Hebraic Jews who spoke Hebrew and or Aramaic, and there were the Grecian Jews who spoke Greek and probably didn't speak Hebrew and or Aramaic. And the controversy, it seems, was that the church was feeding the Hebrew-speaking widows, who were vulnerable because of their marital status, but the Greek-speaking widows were also vulnerable because of their marital status. They weren't getting food at all. They were being overlooked, I guess, is what the Bible tells us. This happens, right? When there are cultural divides, when there are language barriers, when there are institutions in flux, oftentimes groups of people become voiceless and invisible. The situation was unworkable. So the Greek-speaking community came to the church leaders and asked for something to be done. Well, the church, as it is today, is similar in this way to the way it was back then. And there just weren't enough hands to go around. Of course the Greek-speaking widows needed to be fed, but there wasn't the hands and the energy needed to both expand the meal program and to continue at a high level with the ministry of the word, the preaching and the teaching and the evangelism. Does this sound familiar to us in our church today? Do we struggle sometimes, maybe even often, to balance the hands and energy we have with the needs, the physical and spiritual needs of the community? It certainly happens here and in most churches. Well, what the church decided to do was to call in more hands to help. And so they commissioned 7 men, all with Greek names, which is interesting. They called the 7 men and they commissioned them, and they took over the food distribution program, and the other leaders were able to continue working on the ministry of the word. This new situation worked well. It worked so good, in fact, that the Greek-speaking widows were fed, the gospel began to spread, and the church continued to grow rapidly. An interesting story of the early church, and if we were to summarize it in 4 words, we could use these 4 words. Growth, conflict, resolution, growth. Growth, conflict, resolution, growth. Growth, conflict, resolution, growth. It's like a drum beat. Now, of course, it doesn't always happen this way. Growth doesn't always lead to healthy conflict, and healthy conflict doesn't always lead to good resolution, and good resolution doesn't always lead to more growth. But in Acts, what we have is an idealized version of the church. And Luke, the author of Acts, is telling us that the church, when it is at its best, in its growth and vitality, it gets into conflicts that are healthy. And in those healthy conflicts, they are resolved in a healthy way, which leads to more people being exposed to the good news of God's saving love in Jesus Christ. Growth, conflict, resolution, growth. I love this story, and I'm sad that it's not in the lectionary because we don't get to hear it very often. I love it because it is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. I love it because it shows us that conflict doesn't have to be divisive, and sometimes conflict is a doorway to vitality. And I love this story because it gives us this concrete example of how to balance the energy in the hands we have with the spiritual and physical needs of the community. As much as I love this story, there's something that worries me in it. Maybe you feel it too. What worries me is that the energy in this passage is invested in this cycle of growth, conflict, resolution, growth, but there's no mention of the spiritual and physical well-being of the leaders and the church members. How hard it must have been to be a member and a leader in that early church. How difficult it must have been to leave your family and your financial security and follow a convicted criminal who died and then was raised and then left again. How difficult it must have been to be a member of the marginalized community that had taken on these tasks of feeding the least among them and preaching a gospel that was as unpopular as it was dangerous. Imagine how hard it must have been to be one of those church leaders in this group of Greek-speaking Jews came to you and said that you just weren't doing good enough. And then to top it all off, in the next chapter, chapter 7, Stephen, who was one of the ones called to oversee this food distribution program, he is stoned to death because he was an outspoken witness of the gospel. It is a hard thing to be a member of that early church. And this worries me in this story because this is not only a long ago and a far away reality. I think it's true that the folks in the early church who were doing all the feeding weren't always fed. And I think that that reality is true today as much as it was back then as well. It concerns me, worries me, that folks here aren't being fed along with the feeding that they do. I mean, churches in general, and this church in particular, do lots of wonderful feeding things. Right? We raise money, and we have special collections, and we send out work trips, and we have Sunday school, yay, choir, yay. We have Harvest Market. All of this takes a tremendous amount of work, and we do it all on a shoestring budget with few resources. It's wonderful, important stuff, but I worry that those who are doing the feeding aren't always fed in return. The work is great. The hands are few. Sunday comes every single week, doesn't it? But after all, Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. We do all this feeding, we expend all this energy, and we might say through clenched teeth, yeah, this is hard, but my reward is in heaven, as the drumbeat of church program and productivity beats ever on. Growth, conflict, resolution. Growth, conflict, resolution. Growth. So there's this story in Mark chapter 8. You've probably heard it more than once before. It's the story where Jesus feeds the 4,000, which is very similar to a story, I think it's in chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Whenever the Bible repeats itself, it's a way of screaming from the rooftops that this is important. Look, it tells us, listen. So let's listen this morning to this important story that's worth hearing. Jesus is teaching around the countryside, and he's got lots of people that have begun to follow him. They're excited, and they've begun to stay for multiple days at a time. And after 3 days, Jesus is worried about them. And he doesn't want to just send them home because he worries that they're going to collapse on the way home. So he talks to his disciples, who don't have enough food to feed 40, let alone 4,000. But he commands them to do it anyway. And he makes it possible in this miraculous way by taking the loaves and the fishes and multiplying to great abundance so that everybody has enough. It's another great story, but there's a problem in it that we focus on the miraculous and the sensational and we miss the essential point. It's easy to focus on this multiplying of the loaves and fishes. Did this really happen? Is this really true? And if so, how did it happen? And what would it must have been like to be there? We focus on this miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fishes, and we miss the essential point that however Jesus did it, he fed his followers. I mean, he cared. He took time off from his life-changing, world-changing mission to feed his people. It is a point not to be missed. Mark doesn't want us to miss it. He makes it twice. All four Gospels tell this story in one version or another. Yes, they want us to know that we're to follow Jesus. Yes, they want us to know we're to take up our crosses. Yes, the Greek-speaking widows need to be fed, and we are the ones called to feed them. But see, right alongside that, right next to this, is this promise from Jesus that Jesus will feed us. Not just a quick hamburger to throw us back in the front line so that we can feed, 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 produce, 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 so that drumbeat can continue. Now you see, Jesus promises that he'll feed us, I mean deeply, richly, abundantly, to bursting with the bread of life and with the living water, that we'll be fed to bursting with the care and comfort of our fellow church members. We will be filled to bursting with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and we will be filled to bursting with the cross and an empty tomb. Feed. Be fed. So our church program here has started. Choir's back, Sunday school is downstairs, Harvest Market is gearing up. We have 15 minutes of announcements. There is so much going on. In the middle of all of that, I wonder how you are in your walk with Jesus this morning. Are you excited and energized? Are you ready to feed? Are you ready to continue ministries and to start new ones, to get your hands dirty and to dive right in? Are you ready to feed? Or are you just hungry this morning? Are there difficult things going on in your life? Do you have challenges with your health? Are there draining things going on in church and in your ministry setting? Are there things in your relationship with God that are broken, disconnected, and you're just not getting what you need to carry on? Are you just hungry this morning? Well, whoever you are and wherever you are on your walk with Jesus, this is my prayer for you and for all of us. I pray that Jesus will meet you exactly where you are. Pray that this United Church of Underhill will help you to find all that is good and all that is filling and all that is loving and all that is graceful and all that is faithful and all that is beautiful and all that is good news. And I pray for you and for me and for all of us that here you can feed, but also here you will be God and by God's people. With God's help and with our helping one another, may it be so for our sakes and for the life of the whole world.